You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it, one play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will
you
let this be taken away from you?
No, sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Welcome into Inside Ben Davis Football here for Semi-State Week. I'm your host, Zion Brown. Here on Indy's Giant 90.9, joined by WBDG General Manager John Easter and, of course, Ben Davis Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. So we'll start off this episode speaking on last week's regional game against Carmel, which the Giants won at home 27-21 to advance to semi-state. So in that game, Coach, Carmel started off first play on a kickoff return, and they were able to score a touchdown, but your team bounced back. After that, they had 24 unanswered points. So what was really was the cause of the resiliency that the Giants showed to not give in after that first play?
Well, I think there's more to it than just the first play. I mean, if you remember, you were calling the game, and, you know, if you watched it live, you watched it on the MIC network. You know, not only did we give up the opening kickoff return for a touchdown, but our first offensive possession, we also threw an interception.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they ran it back inside the 20, and our you know, they get a 15-yard penalty, and then our defense holds, forces a missed field goal, and, you know, so I it would be easy for me to say, well, our offense scored 24 in a row, but really our defense set the tone, because we had, you know, we were in a position there to potentially go down two scores. You go down two scores early in the game against an opponent like Carmel, you're going to be in for a dogfight the rest of the way, and I think our defense really jump-started our football team with that stop, to be honest with you. Watching those guys run off the field after the field goal was missed and listening to our offense huddle up, and all of a sudden we had a different vibe about us, had a different level of juice, and, you know, that's when we went down the field and scored, and really felt like we were shot out of a cannon at that point. You know, we did score 24 in a row. You know, we can't settle for field goals much longer. When we get down inside the five like that, we got to find a way to go punch it in. And, you know, so that, I think that's an area for us that we got to get better at. But when you look at what set the tone for us, it was our defense. We won the toss and deferred because we wanted to put our defense on the field first. And, that wasn't how we wanted them to get on the field first, was a PAT block. But, you know, I think that defensive stop after the interception may have been the most critical drive, other than the last drive that our defense played all night long, because if we don't get that stop early, you know, who knows how that game goes if we're down two scores. So I really think our defense got us jump-started with that stop, to be honest with you, Zion.
You talked a little bit about the penalty there that Carmel had to push them back 15 yards. Kind of helped the defense out with some field position there and made the field goal a little longer as well. But the defense was just extremely good in the first half. I heard you talking to Bob Lovell after the game. Was it 21 yards?
26.
26 yards your defense gave up. So what was the game plan going in, and why were the Giants so successful at stopping what Carmel wanted to do?
Well, you know, I think for us, so much of it's just an attitude, you know, and our defense has built some confidence here over the 4 weeks prior to this regional game. And we've built confidence because we've gotten stronger in the weight room. We've gotten more reps. We've gotten better fundamentally. We've gotten a better understanding schematically. And our returning starters and those seniors have really started, really just took their game to a completely different level. And so our defense had a lot of confidence coming into this game. We knew what we were going to see from Carmel, at least we thought. We knew what we were going to see. Knew we were going to see some two-back run game. Knew we were going to see some option. Knew we were going to see, you know, some play action. So our guys had a really good understanding of their scheme. And I really think it helped seeing it week seven, because when we started talking about run fits, we started talking about, you know, this guy in this formation in this spot, it clicked because our guys had a reference point to go back to. And our defense was really confident going into that game. And I think it's a testament to our defensive staff led by Coach Sumner. but also our senior leadership. Our guys were locked in last week. Our guys were communicating in practice. Our guys had a really good understanding of run fits, of secondary fits. And, you know, we told our guys all week long, you're going to see, you know, Osborne's going to play. And then we get here and Osborne's in a boot. And really threw us a little bit of a curveball. You know, they played 17 at quarterback. We saw him in the JV game, so we pulled some JV film right before the game when we went back in just to get a feel for his ball and how he was in the pocket and how well he moved. And then when they put Colton Parker back there too, really it kind of forced us to have to shift gears, because when Colton Parker was back there, it was more run-oriented. When 17 was back there, it was more pass-oriented. So, you know, our defense really did a nice job staying locked in, with the exception of a couple of long runs that they got on us. But, you know, all in all, you know, they had a really good performance on Friday.
We've talked a lot the last few weeks about how a sectional is expected at Ben Davis, but the regional, especially winning against Carmel, is a bit of a bigger deal. So how much did it mean for you and your staff and your players just to be able to win that game and win another regional?
Well, I was really excited for our seniors. You know, we talked about it last week with the sectional, and that sectional trophy was really for those guys. And, you know, they prepared like champions last week, and they had an opportunity to add to their own legacy here and add to the rich history of our program. And, you know, they have the same opportunity this week. You know, I really feel like, I feel like as much as our kids celebrated winning the regional and understood the significance of that win, they also know that the mission they've been on since, you know, really since last December hasn't changed. You know, we were in this position a year ago, and we played quite a few guys against them a year ago that are going to play for us on Friday. And, you know, those guys were there. Those guys remember what that game was like from start to finish. And, you know, they've been echoing that message all week long.
You know, Carmel, you kind of talked about Osborne there in your previous answer. Osborne being out of the game really hurt Carmel. How much do you think they missed him from a standpoint? I know you talked about how to prepare for him before, so how much did they miss Osborne?
Well, you know, we really felt like he, you know, going into the game, and you had watched how they, you know, when they caught fire really week three, week four, they just started to build and grow and get better after that. Starting with week four, really, after they played Center Grove in week three, they kind of found out who they were, created an identity, and really started to click some wins off. And it was because, you know, he was a big part of it. Gave him a 1-2 punch in the backfield with he and Zach White. And, you know, his ability to run the option, big, physical, strong kid, really athletic, and then his ability to execute the play action and get the ball out, he spins it really well. We felt like he was kind of the straw that stirred the drink a little bit, and felt like Zach White was a really good running back, felt like they had a couple of weapons on the outside, and really felt like they were a balanced offense that, you know, was going to force us to be really sound and disciplined across the board. So, you know, I don't think there's any question that they missed him for sure. And you know, to their credit, you know, they went and executed, and you know, I think it speaks to the level – it speaks to their coaching staff and how good their coaching staff is to have those guys ready to go and play at the level that they played at on Friday.
Speaking of players that were unavailable, your running back Braden Fuentes didn't play. What happened there, and how big of a deal was it for Devin Wiley to step up and play as well as he did last Friday?
Well, Brandon got a little bit of an ankle against Perry Meridian. We felt like he would be ready to go Friday, just couldn't get it in a position where he can go play his game. You know, if he's a lineman, probably not missing that game. But, you know, when you get an ankle and you're a running back and you got to put your foot in the ground and burst off of it, you got to change directions, you got to do all the things that our running backs do in our offense and that Brandon has done a really good job of for us this year. He didn't feel comfortable with it. And, if you know, obviously, if he's not going to feel comfortable with it, we as a coaching staff, you know, we're not going to put him in a position to get hurt more. So we missed him, in all honesty. But I also think it speaks to the depth that Coach Ferris has created at the running back position for Devin Wiley to step in and go for over 100 yards against a really good Carmel defense. Got Donovan Troutman ready on short notice. We still played three running backs throughout. They all had kind of a unique, different role, and Coach Ferris did a really good job of getting those guys prepared and ready to go play and to execute their responsibility and to go fit in the scheme. And, you know, Devin, we got complete confidence in Devin to step in at any point and execute any part of our offense, which we saw on Friday night, executed in the run game really well, and he executed in the passing game really well. And so, you know, we were excited for Dev. You know, he's a great kid. You know, he answered the bell on Friday in what's the biggest game that he's played in to this point.
Well, you talk about developing that depth, and I think that's something that we've seen the Giants do the last few weeks because you've had opportunities. I mean, obviously with some of the games you've played, you've got out in front of people. So how big has that been to have those opportunities to get guys like Wiley and others into the game where maybe before you wouldn't have had that opportunity?
Yeah, I don't think there's any substitute for live bullets is what we call them all the time. When we talk in staff meetings and we have conversations, it's like, you know, we got to get that guy more live bullets. We got to get that guy more live bullets. Like, well, how do you do that? Well, you do it one of two ways. You either get him in the game and give him game reps and know that it's a growing process and you got to be patient. You got to coach through it. Or you ratchet up the intensity in your practice and make your practice as game-like as possible. And we've done both of those things this season. And so we've been able to pick and choose guys that we've needed to develop in whatever role that we feel like best fits our scheme and best fits our defense. And, you know, that's allowed us to be able to play some guys. You know, we play more guys both ways probably than anybody else on our schedule. And we understand that. And so we got to have a guy ready at a moment's notice if a guy, you know, needs a breather, needs, you know, cramps, whatever. You know, you saw Dylan Moore on Friday catch a cramp in his calf and had to miss a couple of plays. And, you know, we're now in the fourth quarter and it's like, hey, come on, man. Ain't no time for a cramp here, buddy. You got to go. So, you know, so we have to have that depth, you know, and that I think that's part of the program that we have.
Just overall, what do you feel was the biggest difference from the first game against Carmel, which you lost by 22, to last Friday's game, which obviously you won?
I think you saw a brand of Ben Davis football, Zion, to be honest with you. When we went up there week 7, that didn't resemble anything that this program is about. And we had a long heart-to-heart about that after the game up there. You know, I just didn't feel like we competed real hard, didn't play real hard. And, you know, that if you can look back and say, hey, you know, where was the turning point in your season? You know, I can look back right now and tell you that game unequivocally. The conversations we had after that game as a program is kind of what got us turned and moving in the direction that we're in right now. And so much of it's just about playing hard and competing. And for us, it started with those two things. We had to play hard. We had to compete. We had to embrace every opportunity we had to put a Ben Davis jersey on and to represent the history in our program. And then for us, you know, we had to fit our schemes to what our players could do. And you know, we feel like we've gotten better at that as the season has gone on. And we've just continued to develop guys and really work to get better day in and day out. And I think you saw the fruits of that labor really show up this past Friday. And, you know, we certainly didn't play perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and we got to find another level as we continue to grow. But, I think it started with us playing as hard as we could and just competing and embracing that opportunity to represent Ben Davis football.
And you guys were considered to be underdogs last week, and you will be again this week. So as a coaching staff, how do you address the fact that you're underdogs, and how do you approach that toward your team?
Yeah, we don't talk about it. I mean, our kids are on social media more than our coaching staff is, and they understand the opportunity that we have. They understand, you know, how people feel about us as a football team and a football program, and they understand that there's not a lot of people that believe that we could go in last Friday and play the game that we played, and they certainly there's probably less people that believe we can go in this Friday and find a way to compete with Center Grove.
All right, that will wrap up this first segment. Speaking on last week's Carmel game, which once again the Giants won 27-21 to win yet another regional. We will take a break here and come back and talk about the semi-state matchup this Friday against Center Grove. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football.
I may never have met you. We don't go way back. Maybe we wouldn't even be friends if we did. But when you wear a mask, you have my respect. Because your mask doesn't protect you. It protects me. I wear my mask to protect you. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, I'm Zion Brown here with John Easter interviewing Coach Jason Simmons for the Giants. Now we'll talk about this week's Center Grove game for BD at Giant Stadium once again in the semi-state. The Trojans won 38-0 over Warren Central last week to win their regional there. So overall, you lost to the Center Grove team earlier in the season, week four, 35-12. Looking back at the film and looking at the stats as well, what were the Giants' biggest issues in that game?
Well, I think it starts with you just walk, you know, when you take the field in pregame, you have to believe you can win, and you have to believe in what you're doing. And you go back, and all you have to know for that game is you go back and watch the first 6 minutes. We get the ball, start the game, throw an interception because we miss in pass protection. They pick it off. They're inside the 25-yard line, go down, score. We're down 7-0. We very next offensive snap, throw an interception. They get the ball at the minus 45. We give up three plays over 15 yards. They go down, score, go up 14-0. Next drive, we go three and out and punt, and they run the punt back inside the 30. And so, you know, we did not start fast, not in any way, shape, or form. And so when you get down 21-0 to a team that's nationally ranked and to the number one team in the state of Indiana – in the first 6 minutes of the game, it's not going to go well for you. And you know, there's countless examples on film of issues that we had, whether it was in pass protection, whether it was in just overall, you know, scheme execution on both sides of the ball. And really, I think, you know, when you look at that game, they beat us in all three phases, and they raced out to a 28-0 lead. We're up 28-0 at halftime. And just kind of coasted in the second half, and really is especially in the fourth quarter. And so there's a lot that we can take away from it. We can turn that game film on and pinpoint some very specific things, areas that we need to address and get better at in order to show well on Friday and to have an opportunity to compete.
Coach, I think we've talked about this many, many, many times before. Eric Moore obviously has been at Center Grove several years. He's been there, I believe he came there in 99, was his first year at Center Grove, and he's really established kind of a machine down there. I mean, that program has his stamp all over it with the offense they run and things. But you're seeing a guy kind of like Don Shula did when he got Dan Marino. You see a guy who's kind of made some alterations to his kind of his base offense and things. What are your thoughts about Coach Moore and how he does things there at Center Grove?
Well, he's built a machine, and you know, for them it starts from the ground up. You know, I think from the time they leave whatever hospital they're born in Johnson County, you know, they're given a football.
They're running the wing tee.
Yeah, they're given a football and they're running some version of the wing tee. And one, you know, I think he's a great program builder. Two, I think he's a great motivator. Three, I think he's a great ball coach. And you know, he's a good person. I enjoy talking to him in the off season. I enjoy talking to him outside of football because he's one of those guys that you can look at, and you know, he's a veteran coach. He's been around it. He's seen a lot. He's done a lot. He's won a lot. And so he has a different perspective that, you know, that I can always pick things from and learn from. And then you look at how they've evolved. And you know, when you have the quarterback that he has, and you have really four guys at any point that could go rip a 15-plus-yard play, you know, they've morphed their offense to fit, you know, their personnel. And there's still some wing tee principles in there. You can see it every once in a while. He likes to get big and get in an unbalanced formation and just try and shove it. And with those two running backs, I understand why he does that. So he certainly morphed his offense to his personnel, and you know, I think the biggest piece of the puzzle is Taven Jackson at quarterback. You have a quarterback that's as talented as he is. You can open that thing up and do some different things, but it certainly doesn't begin and end with him. You know, when you look across the board, they got four really talented offensive skill kids besides him. Their tight end is a huge weapon for him. Not doesn't necessarily get volume touches, but the touches he does get, he maximizes. But he does a nice job in the passing game, in pass protection. He does a nice job in the run game, being a physical run blocker. So, you know, he is obviously fitted to his personnel, but it also speaks to the football knowledge he has to be able to transition, you know, to be able to transition his brain, you know, from scheme to scheme as well as he does in game.
And you spoke earlier on just how both of these teams have a lot of players returning that were starters in last year's game that was a 17-10 win for Center Grove to go to state. So how much do your guys want to avenge that loss and get to state this year?
Our guys want an opportunity to play for a state championship. You know, we're one of four teams left with that opportunity in 6A in the state of Indiana. And, you know, we're one of two teams left to represent the South. And as much as we want to avenge what happened last year, you know, none of us can control what happened last year at this point. And, you know, our guys haven't talked about a revenge game, to be honest with you. I mean, our guys are singularly focused on what we have to do to go win the first play of the game this week. And whether that's an onside kick, you know, by them that we've seen here in the last couple of weeks, or whether they kick it deep, or whether we're kicking off, whatever it may be. You know, we need to make sure that we're ready to go win the first play of the game. And then we got to line up and we got to go win the next one. And, you know, that has to be our singular focus. We can't worry about last year, and we can't worry about next week, because none of those two things we have control over right now. What we do have control over is what we do in preparation between now and Friday night.
I mean, you look at what Center Grove has done just in the state tournament. They've come in and they've pretty much laid waste to everybody that's kind of stood in their way. What makes the Giants different than some of those other teams that – probably went in thinking, hey, we've got no pressure, you know, we're playing the number one team, we're not expected to win. What makes Ben Davis a different opponent than Warren Central or some of the other teams that they've played?
We're Ben Davis, and you know, we're going to show up and represent Wayne Township. We're going to show up and represent the west side of Indianapolis, whether there's a limitation on the amount of fans that can be here or not. And I know our guys are going to be ready. Our coaching staff's going to have our guys ready. Our players are going to be ready. And, you know, we're going to be up for the challenge. And we understand what that challenge looks like. I mean, it's a formidable opponent on both sides of the ball. They're scoring a ton of points. They're not giving up anything. And, you know, they're sitting here at 13-0. And, you know, we understand. And we're preparing day in and day out to be able to execute at a really high level. And, you know, we're going to go play Ben Davis football. And, you know, at the end of the 48-minute game, we're going to see where we're at.
This Warren Central defense gives up less than, I think, 7 points a game on the year, and it all starts with their defensive line. And so the Giants, like you mentioned a little bit, they kind of struggle with that defensive line the first time around. What do you think is the key, and how will you try to manage playing against that line?
Well, you know, for us, it's about – really, it's about winning the takeoff. You know, they're ultra talented across the board. You know, three of the four guys that they start in their even front package are Division I guys. They're long, athletic, good football players. And so, you know, we have to be technicians up front. You look at where we're at fundamentally compared to where we were week four. We feel like we're in a better spot. Certainly physically stronger after being, you know, out of the weight room for so long. We've gotten some strength back as the season has gone on, and we've been able to work out. So we're in a different place right now, but you have to be a technician. And, you know, a good reference point is week four. A good reference point is the semi-state game a year ago. You know, we're starting some of the same guys that we did a year ago in that game. And so we've been in both films, just evaluating technique pieces, evaluating, you know, just the little minute details that are going to give you an opportunity to be successful against good football players that we're going to see on Friday.
You talk about how the Giants have gotten stronger. Guy who doesn't – I mean, he gets a lot of recognition, but he's very quiet about it. Coach Kevin Vanderbush. A couple weeks ago, I think the Giants won their 350th game with Kevin as the strength coach here at Ben Davis. What has his contribution meant this year to this squad in this really strange time that we've talked about 100 times already this year?
You know, it's easy to say he's just a strength coach, but he's really far from. You know, he does a really good job. Like for me personally, he's a good sounding board. He's a mentor. He's a guy that has a lot of different perspectives, having worked with a lot of successful coaches over the years. He's a guy that's well-schooled. When you look at the volume of books that he reads and the nuggets of information that he pulls from all of those things, he really is a resource. And, you know, for me personally, he's invaluable. I think for our kids, you know, he has such a calming effect on them because he's routine oriented. He's routine driven. And I think that's important for the stability of our kids. And, you know, our guys know what they're going to get with him. He's never too high. He's never too low. He does a really good job of understanding where our kids are and what they need, whether they need lifted up, whether they need, that advice piece, or whether they simply just need a calming voice to get them redirected. He does all of those things. And so he's way more than just a strength coach, but his ability to get our guys just consistent in the weight room day in and day out, you know, he has really done, he's really done a good job. Echo. We have cohesion from a staff standpoint in terms of our ability just to be consistent with our kids. And really, we just want to get a day better. So every time they go in the weight room, he's talking to them about getting a day better. When they come to practice, we're talking about just getting a day better. And that's what has allowed us to grow as a football team this season. And so his contributions to this program are far reaching over the past 37 seasons. This year especially, you know, like he said, it's the first time any of us have been through something like this. And so, you know, just his calming presence and his consistency has been really important for our entire program.
The Giants and the Trojans just always seem to play, you know, extremely tight semi-state games. Do you think there's a reason that these games end up being as close as they are when they do happen?
Familiarity with each other. You know, it's second time around. You know, we went in, you know, Carmel. We went into the game last week, and we knew what Carmel was going to do, and they did it. They knew what we were going to do, and we did it. And so what's it come down to? You know, it comes down to making plays. And, I really think that's what's going to happen this week. You know, you look at the semi-state game a year ago, and, you know, we had the ball inside the 25 with an opportunity to go down and score late in the game and put it on the deck for what was only the second time all year AJ did that, you know, and that it's timing. You know, we had Jalen Nolan running right down the middle of the field, and Jackson Schott gets a fingertip on that ball. If he doesn't get a fingertip on that ball, then, you know, that gives us an opportunity to tie it up. You know, knowing myself, we probably would have gone for two in the win, but, you know, we have no control over that decision at this point. But, you know, so it's going to be no different this week. You know, we went for it on fourth down three times last year, got stopped on all three. Like, can't do that. Like, you know, you want to win this game, you're going to have to convert fourth down. We have success on Friday. We didn't settle for field goals. We converted on fourth down, you know, early in the game when we were – when we put a couple of drives together. We settled for field goals when we had a lead. So we're going to be in those opportunities. And the team that makes the plays is the team that's going to have success on Friday. And, you know, that's going to come down to preparation, belief, and then ultimately your ability to execute your technique against the guy across from you.
The series between these two coach, dead even, as it seems like it always is in the Mick. This series dead even. But Center Grove is actually – kind of had the Giants number lately. I think they've won seven of the last eight games, and the Giants haven't won on this field since Chris Evans popped the run at the end of the game in 2014. So what has kind of driven that recent kind of, I guess they've kind of stumped the Giants, so to speak. What has kind of driven that for Center Grove?
Well, yeah, I think so much of it's just unique in a year-to-year basis, you know, and you look at timing, you look at matchups, you look at what you I think there's a lot of things that you could look at that could go into it, to be honest with you. In 2018, it was a close game here. You know, 2019, we go down there and get blown out, and then we go down there again in the semi-state, and it's a one-score game. So, yeah, I think so much of it is just program depth and just the uniqueness of each individual season. You know, they're right now, obviously they feel really good about their two classes that they have back to back here, their senior class and their junior class. And so, you know, some of it could come down to players and some of it, I think, just comes down to the uniqueness of the matchup year in and year out.
So just overall, what do you feel are the main things the Giants need to do to come away with the victory in the semi-state game on Friday?
Well, we got to find a way to start fast. You know, we can't let them get up 21 points in the first 6 minutes of the game and expect to have success. I think field position is going to be important. I think that's something to keep an eye on in this game. They had success in their big games this year. They've had success winning the battle of field position. And then, you know, we're going to have to execute, and that's holistically. You know, we're going to have to execute our plan defensively, and we're going to have to tackle and finish plays and give up minimal yards after contact. And then, you know, conversely, on the offensive side of the ball, we're going to have to be creative with how we get the ball in space, and then we got to get yards after contact. And so, you know, I think it's going to be important for us to continue to be physical and to start fast, like we have in the win streak that we have in the last five games. And honestly, we need to play relaxed and go play Ben Davis football. You know, we're going to be prepared. We're going to be ready. We got to take the field knowing what that challenge is on the other end of it, and knowing that if we give it our best shot, we're going to be able to walk away from it and know exactly where we stand.
All right. Thanks again, Coach Simmons. That will wrap this episode up. This part talking about Center Grove this Friday. Once again, the game will be at 7 o'clock on Friday here on WBDG, with the pregame starting around 6:15. Gavin Miller and myself, Zion Brown, will have the call. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.